a special education teacher, an administrator, and a lawyer walk into a bar. And our conversations can get pretty lively. And now you'll join us while we talk all about special education and the public school system. I'm Robin Fabiano, a special education teacher and a building-based student services administrator, and I'm joined by Abby Hanscom, a district-level student services administrator, and Angela Smagula, a founding partner at Kahn & Smagula, specializing in education law. We've been working together across multiple districts since 2009 and have lots of opinions about special education. In this podcast, we hope to share information, lessons learned, interviews with VIPs in the field of special education, and bring some humor to an otherwise serious topic. But before we get started, three disclaimers. One, the views shared on this podcast are our own and don't represent the views of the districts in which we work. Two, everyone might want Kahn & Smagula as their attorneys, but Angela is not giving legal advice during this podcast. Three, although there are federal laws governing special education, we work in Massachusetts, a state that has added protections, so some of which we speak about may not apply in your state. So let's get started. Hi, Abby.
Hey, Robin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
So today we are going to be speaking about some of the news that's coming out of Brockton, Massachusetts, and it has made national news. And so I'm wondering if some of our listeners across the United States have heard it. But the Brockton School Committee has implored the governor to send the National Guard into the high school to support discipline. So I'm going to give a little context about Brockton, and then Abby, you can like come back and give us more like big picture. But Brockton is a city about 25 miles from Boston. Their high school has 3,600 students. I think if I'm remembering the demographics correctly, it's about 80% Black and Latino.
Yep.
The majority are high needs, so designated high needs due to low-income families, according to state data. The building itself is one of the largest physical plants in Massachusetts. And so just the scope of needing to manage the space and figure out where all of the students are is enormous. And students and staff have been reporting not feeling safe. And now the school committee, four of the six, have reached out asking the governor to send in the National Guard.
Yep. And so there's a lot to unpack in that quick overview of Brockton High School. So the scope and scale of this high school is something of an outlier, but not totally. But it's an important factor to look at. I would also say in our 22-23 state data, the district of Brockton enrolls about 15,000 students, of whom 73% qualify as low income, 28.6% qualify as English language learners, and they have about an 18% identification rate for students with disabilities. And in general, their state scores, and we've talked about some of those issues on the podcast for different things, for grades 3 through 8, the percent of kids meeting or exceeding the state expectations in English is 4% in both English and math.
Wow.
And in grade 10, which is the current grade where you have to pass the test, get a meeting or exceeding score to pass to gain a diploma, currently, 11% of kids are hitting that mark in grade 10 for ELA and only 5% in math.
Wow.
Yep.
Floored.
Yep.
Yep. I'm just going to throw in a personal story. I graduated with my master's in December. So the way that my program went, I went over the started in the summer, ended in the summer, ended in December. I was already hired for our previous district for that September. And I wasn't sure what to do between when I graduated December to September. And so I actually was offered a position at Brockton High School working in their transition program. As we know, transition programs, they target the 18 to 22 year olds. And so when I went in, And I was, you know, a young 21, just graduated student. And I went to interview there and I saw the enormity of the building and then the range of students that were staying until they were 22. And I respectfully declined that position because I would have been eaten alive at such a young age, so inexperienced and younger than, you know, the majority of students that were staying.
Yeah. So that's an amazing anecdote. And I happen to have been born in Brockton and my family lived very nearby and moved when I was a little kid. And I would just say there are a lot of hardworking families and kids and teachers in the community. And this is kind of a good jumping off point to talk about some bigger picture issues around how school discipline plays out, right? So I do think this article kind of caught the national attention. So the Boston Globe article has been picked up into the national media. And there's something about it where it's like calling out the National Guard or requesting the National Guard that gets clicks, right? So it's attention grabbing.
Well, we certainly because last year we had, I think Massachusetts also has made national news when we talked about defunding the police and taking school resource officers and police presence out of our buildings. And so this idea that, so they have 9 security officers in the building now, and they're hoping to get more, and 9 security officers. And I believe I read in the article that they do have police presence, at least now, is not enough to keep the school, and I'm putting in quotes for the listeners, safe. And I think we have to talk about what safe means. And is safe just related to fights and drug use, or is safe a feeling of belonging and connectiveness in your school? And can you have one without the other?
Right. And so that is like a really good connecting kind of idea to thinking about. There are different perspectives for thinking about discipline in schools. And the word discipline alone is kind of like a loaded term. But if we think about effective school management, and we thought for today's conversation, we could use a lens and kind of dissect this Brockton request. We don't know that the governor will grant this request. And it is interesting that only 4 of the 6 school committee members wrote this letter requesting it. So there, that may reflect some disagreement and lack of, you know, consistency within that school committee. But if we just hold that aside for a minute, you know, one way to think about school management and discipline is this idea of kind of what's called guided discipline, which comes out of this whole framework of thinking about school effective running of a school, and that discipline is a teeny tiny little piece of your larger climate and culture of your building. And that if you pay attention to a lot of your climate and culture issues, then your school discipline part resolves to be a tiny little piece of, you know, bad decisions made by kids. And then you handle that separately. So I thought it might be interesting to just talk about that. And we'll put in the show notes a couple of like references. But the first thing to say is that every high school has kind of its own culture. And Robin, you're in a high school. So, you know, I mean, like any place that has thousands of teenagers in one place has a lot of energy and a great deal of variability day to day, hour to hour, in terms of the tone of the building. And Mondays are different than Fridays. And, you know, March is different than October. So we don't have great insight into the specifics of what Brockton High School feels like right now in 2024, February. But let's take people at their word that there is a lot of negative behavior happening, right? Let's just assume that. And so then the question is, well, what makes sense? Calling for the National Guard to come is a really interesting lens. And it might be interesting to just look at it from the constituencies. So if we think about kids, teachers, and parents, let's just play it out for a second. What do we think kids will experience? That, let's pretend this happens and the National Guard shows up on the Monday after vacation. You know, what do we think kids will experience if that happens? What's your guess? I'm curious your thoughts.
I mean, I think a large number of police presence in a school building is a Band-Aid. It is not sustainable. And I think that it may results in some temporary order, but I'm not sure that there would be any new skills or effectiveness in terms of changing the culture and community. And I wonder what their discipline move is, right? So like, what do they do if they catch someone selling drugs? They're not enforcing anything. Do they capture them, hold them until, you know, someone on their cape arrives? Like, what will they be doing, I think, is my question. Students were interviewed, and there was a student in the article that said he doesn't go to the bathroom all day. He's like too scared to go to the bathroom. And there are many students in high schools that don't use the facilities throughout the day for a variety of reasons, but it sounds like he's not doing it because he's worried about what he's going to find in the bathroom in terms of, will he get beat up? Will there be drugs, et cetera? And he was not in favor because he felt like it was really punitive and it wouldn't change anything.
Yeah. So I think that's an interesting piece. And Angela, you might have an opinion about it from like a legal perspective, but obviously, you know, this kind of attention grabbing thing of like, please send the National Guard doesn't really contemplate what the impact of doing that is and what happens when the National Guard goes away and what message you're sending to kids, like that's the level of enforcement that is required in your school. It kind of reinforces the idea that your school isn't safe, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the community is divided on the National Guard. Like, it was clear that there was like a, from what I read, that there was like a sort of a small group, vocal group on the school committee that was sort of wanting to do something, right? And so that was their idea. But it seemed that there's a breakdown in like all the stakeholders that we're talking about today, like coming together and determining what the next best steps are. And it's like gotten so far out of hand, the pendulum swings very far in those situations. But I think you're right. Like, I'm not sure what the National Guard would do. And when the people that were advocating for that were interviewed, they were sort of like, well, they'll do something, right? So it's like not actually like a good plan.
Yeah. And there's equity issues, right? So I don't know that the National Guard has any skill or training in working with adolescents, for example. And it may be that on some level, it replicates some of the school to prison pipeline concerns that many parents and kids have raised and educators, and that you could knock over some dominoes unexpectedly if a student has behavior and the National Guard in some way tries to respond, right? Things could get out of hand quickly.
I mean, they clearly need a reset. So the question is like, how do they create a reset that is going to work? And whatever they decide, it's going to take time. So like the National Guard sounds to me like a parachuting in of like literally and figuratively, like of untrained people. And they're responding to the teacher saying they feel unsafe, right? But it sounds like there's no infrastructure there to help facilitate everybody sort of like having a reset. So I think it's really complicated. And I think they let it go too long, I think, and spin too out of control. Because, you know, we had some of this rampant fighting and teachers getting injured on the return from COVID in some districts. And people mobilized in a way internally to sort of like help figure that out. And they're still struggling with it, but there was no call for like the military.
So if I were a teacher, though, I mean, we were talking about students at first. If I were a teacher and in my classroom, there were kids who had repeatedly stood up and threatened me and other students, I think it would be comforting, without thinking too much about like consequences on students and long-term trauma and bringing police in, it would feel very reassuring to have someone in, you know, a big presence in my classroom that I then can step away from and not have to like block a chair being thrown at me. And I'm not even saying that sarcastically. I'm reading that's an example of things that are happening, like flying furniture. And it would give me great comfort to know that there was someone who would step in and either block me or like take the student away. in a way that maybe their security officers don't do, or they're, you know, they have different protocols in place. So I can see from that lens, the teacher lens, in that particular safety in your classroom situation, it would probably feel really good to have someone else being able to handle the situation in the moment. Of course, again, that doesn't talk about anything that happens afterwards. They said in one of the articles that they've had 5 principals in 8 months or 8 principals in 5 months. I mean, the leadership there is not present. And so when you're saying like it seems uncoordinated and like people haven't come together to formulate a plan, certainly that's true because there's been no leadership to do that.
So one of the things that I think is really interesting about this from maybe a parent perspective, you know, if you think of the parents who are taxpayers in the town of Brockton who are funding their school system, would be to understand what they're looking for. And it might be interesting to find out if the parent base would support this move on the theory that their kids perhaps can get back to school and back to learning. And that it might be surprising to other parents that somebody would feel that way, right? So I think that's an interesting question. The other thing is that I don't know that the National Guard is really an actual solution, because in most instances, they are not going to be engaging directly with students. I think, you know, their roles usually are pretty hands-off and pretty, you know, functional. If you remember during COVID, they drove buses because they had some previous experience doing that. But I did think what would be interesting is maybe just to think about in this situation, are there other approaches or would there be other methods that might make sense? And I'm sure that the people in this particular situation feel like they've tried everything and have done everything possible, right? So that's real. But I was looking at some of the kind of structures around school management. And an interesting one is this idea of guided discipline. And they kind of have this little graphic that we'll put up in the show notes, but it just asks 5 questions. And it basically says, is whatever your approach is, you know, whatever philosophy or system that you're putting in place for school discipline, is it accountable? Is it respectful? Is it fair? Is it restorative, which is a term we should probably talk about? And then finally, is it viable in the long run? And then really, if you can say yes to those kind of things, whatever philosophy or approach you've picked probably is reasonable. And if you can't, you should probably have some more, do more work, right, on whatever that is. So let's just see what happens if we apply this. So could we say that bringing in the National Guard to a high school, does that increase accountability in some ways for some constituencies? I would assume
yes,
right? Yeah. That's probably the strongest argument for doing this, is that there's this like force available to do something.
Right. And that could be, you know, working to get people both out of school that need to be out of school if they're fighting, et cetera, but also maybe in school. You know, Abby, you brought up this idea of riding buses. Like, maybe kids are not coming to school on time. And so they're coming in late and they're coming in hot and something has happened and you know, are starting to build up your culture and having students come to school on time and make it to class and reiterate the importance of being a student, the National Guard could help in that way too.
Yeah. So it probably was a pretty aligned with accountability kind of idea from these school committee folks. I think we can, you know, all have different opinions on if it's good accountability or scary accountability, right? So then the next prong would be respectful. So what do we think the impact of having the National Guard in your high school would be from like a respectfulness lens? I think that's interesting to think about.
I think it probably depends on the bucket of the person, of the student, in terms of families. So for families that feel like things are completely out of control, it probably feels very respectful. For families that are impacted by the National Guard interfacing with the students that are fighting and you know, causing all the violence, it probably doesn't feel respectful. It probably feels authoritarian.
Yeah, and it's this kickoff into the school to prison pipeline, like officially, right? You're basically saying like this authority has determined your kid is doing something wrong. So I think that's a big one. I wonder if I was a teacher in the high school, I think I would probably line up with Robin, that I'd feel like it increases the respect kind of like quotient in the building, at least for a little while. And this maybe is one of those other not so well thought out ideas where it might work for like the first 3 days, but day 4 to 100 might not have been contemplated. And also, if you do need that kind of force in your building to maintain respectful communication, you know, what do you do when they're gone? What do you do the day they leave? And have you changed anything about how people do things in your building?
Sure. I mean, all of that will, that will just desensitize students after a while, right? You're going to be walking down the hallway and you're going to see National Guard. And for a little bit, it's going to be like, ooh, the National Guard's here. And after a while, someone is going to say something, someone's going to mouth off, nothing's going to happen. Because again, I'm not sure what the National Guard is going to do. And sometimes you can't keep up with the low level behaviors. And then people see that you're okay with the low level behaviors and ratchet it up. So I think you're right. For the short term, it may like be an effect and a presence. And then I think you're pretty much done with that.
I mean, I think part of the problem is that there's a deficit of respectful communication in the building for a million reasons. Mm-hmm. But in order to build respectful communication, there has to be like a relationship base there. I mean, and a community building base there. And I don't think that the National Guard facilitates that. So
right. And if anything, it might delay that development. All right. So we don't think it's so great on that one. So what about fair? This is interesting because fair has like all these different meanings to people. But, you know, students often will say like, well, that's not fair, or that's not usually what they mean is like something happened to someone else and the same thing didn't happen to me. But in school discipline, but do we have a sense about like fairness? Does it seem like it would be more fair if there's this third party in the building?
They're reaching out for the governor to fund this. Right. And part of what the issue has been in Brockton is that they've had multi-year budget cuts of millions of dollars, which has left them short staffed and obviously not a great environment culture to be working in at the moment. Probably that's been building. And so in terms of fairness, someone else is solving the problem, right? The budget cuts have been unfairly made and are leading up to a result where you don't have enough boots on the ground for probably all of the good school things that you want to do. And again, theoretically, if you have kids that are engaged, if you have people around that can build relationships, if you have social workers that are there for counseling and all of that jazz, you have a different culture. So, I mean, it's fair because Brockton isn't responsible for funding anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the number one thing is that the appeal to this higher authority is basically because there isn't funding available to kind of build it internally. And so you could argue that is fair because they're getting what they need or they're asking for what they think they need at this time, you know. So that's really interesting. I also think that, you know, as a predominantly Black and Latino school district to have the National Guard posted there, I don't know that would be considered fair if those families that said, I don't want that, and it still happened. And then the one that I think we might need to talk about a little bit more is this idea of this test. Is whatever the practice is, in this case, the National Guard, is it restorative? Like, does it lead to knitting the community back together over time? And I think we've probably come to the conclusion that it probably doesn't, but it might hold people together long enough for some other solution to be developed. That's an interesting possibility.
Well, if I were the governor, I think that I would have to do, this would have to be an and decision. So it would be like you send the National Guard in and what else is happening to do all of the things you're talking about. It can't be an or issue or just the National Guard. You have to have someone who is thinking ahead and is able to see the long term. And it doesn't seem like the people advocating for just the National Guard, so the school committee, is seeing the and in this situation.
Yeah, that's really thoughtful. And I would love it if you were the governor, Robin. I think that would be highly efficient for us in public school in Massachusetts. I do think that you're right. And it might be like a staged kind of solution that there's a short term urgent need to restabilize this building. I mean, this is like in the best case scenario, you could make this argument, and that perhaps a third party like this could do that. But, you know, the big picture is that restoratively, what you probably have to do is chop that high school into 4,000 kid smaller buildings, something like that, right? Like it isn't an instant solution. It's probably reflective of some of the scale that's
They've supposedly been on the docket to rebuild the high school. They got a grant for some funding, and obviously the state was going to fund it as well. And they haven't been able to figure out the next steps to do that. So I think, you know, the budget in terms of staffing is one thing. And then you're right, the infrastructure they said at Brockton High School is so enormous that the physical plant just leads to not being able to cover and span the buildings to be able to even get to the students in an efficient way that need the support when they need it.
Yeah. And I love that idea of support, right? So that's the other kind of shift in some of the responsive discipline ideas, is that there's almost no discipline. It's really tons of support. And then for the very few outlier students who are really in need of like a corrective disciplinary response, you have that approach. But that 95% of it is really support, support, support. Because usually kids are trying, you know, to get their needs met in some way by what they're doing. And then I guess the final question is, you know, is it viable, right? So the question would be, is this approach just like a flash in the pan kind of emergency response and nothing new is going to happen? Or do you think this will really come to pass? And, you know, Monday morning, come back from February school break, there'll be 100 National Guards people at this high school. What do we think will happen?
I don't think the governor is going to send the National Guard.
Yeah, why not? What's your theory on that?
I don't know. I mean, I it's that what I've been reading is that it's under advisement, which sounds like it's gone down the rabbit hole a little bit. I think that would be an extreme move. I mean, I think that what should be happening in terms of your like five-prong rubric is, I think that the governor should order DESE to step in a very proactive way with bodies and infrastructure and plans and the appropriate pedagogy to attack these issues. Like, that's what should be happening. Now, Jeff Riley just stepped down.
That's our commissioner, for people who are listening. That's our state commissioner. Yep.
So, and I don't know what's happening there, but I think this is I think that the school committee should have come together and demanded that DESE intervene because of the extreme budget cuts and the extreme lack of leadership. Like, and that would be more consistent with building a respectful culture, because it's just sort of one step adjacent from the actual school district, right? So all school districts are local, but they're governed by this umbrella of the state education department. And, you know, we've seen them step in financial crises.
Yep.
So this is a crisis that's caused by a financial crisis. So to me, I just think I don't understand why DESE, number one, hasn't stepped in to begin with. And number two, if we're looking for the governor to mandate something, I think it should be that DESE comes in and really comes in like with a plan and with bodies to help right the ship, at least temporarily. So that's my solution.
Do you think that can happen mid school year, or they would have to plan and do that in September?
So I think it would be like a triage effect now, and then a bigger plan for September. We've seen them mobilize in a crisis, right? They mobilized in COVID. Difference of opinions about how well. You know, we've seen them mobilize in other districts like Lawrence and other towns and cities that they've stepped into. So I find like the silence to be deafening from the Board of Education, the Department of Education.
You're probably right about that, because on some level, the fixes, if you think of kind of culture, staffing, professional development, are definitely on the educational side of the house. And yeah. I think why this request for the National Guard picked up so much traction in the news media is it's so far removed from those kind of fixes, right? It's really the whole other perspective. And I guess in Massachusetts, we do have a concept of receivership for school districts that have kind of lost their way financially or programmatically. And it may be that this is kind of adjacent to that. It's like a discipline program kind of loss of way. And certainly, I don't think the National Guard meets this, you know, 5-prong test for a functioning system for managing a school. But at the same time, it might be a first step for like 2 months while DESE orients itself to figure out what to do. I have no idea. And I don't think it's a great idea to send the National Guard in. But short of that, I'm sure the teachers and parents who are worried about their kids' safety want something to happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also interesting, like Robin's idea. I think, you know, DESE could also come in and chunk it and chunk the school into different sizes and different focuses. I don't think that would solve all the bigger problems, but I think it would dissipate some of the high intensity things that are happening. And I mean, you know, I don't know how many headlines there has to be that, you know, Brockton High School is a total fucking mess before, you know, it gets DESE's attention.
And I think we'll hear probably this week into next week, because the request was for it to be like an immediate response. So, you know, by doing that, the school committee's put everyone on notice that politically there has to be some kind of response, yes, no, or plan, you know, B has to be talked about pretty promptly.
It wasn't like a unanimous vote. So like that's always the, so then there's the local politics, right? Like the school committee's job is not to run the school, right? We all know this. I know that some school committees think differently, but like the sheer absence of administrative leadership is the problem. So then the school committee feels like they have to step in and they don't really know like the ins and outs. And then they're not going to build a respectful relationship with students. They're not in the building. And the teachers are then caught in the crossfire of that. So, you know, my legal conclusion is that it's a pickle.
That's good. That's a good conclusion.
Thank you.
It's funny. I was thinking that speaks to the lack of like confidence in DESE that the school committee would rather reach out for the National Guard than to call upon DESE to step in.
Yeah.
Right? You would think that as a governing school board, you would think your next shelf in the hierarchy would be DESE, and they went right over them. So again, I mean, it would be interesting to hear why they made that choice.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because it's like a lot of headline grabbing. The headlines are like, you know, teachers are getting hurt by students in violent interactions. Like that's a headline. And will get people's attention and is like so inconsistent with school. And then what's a reaction to an inflammatory headline or such a high like stakes situation is a high stakes response, which is calling the National Guard, which, you know, we call the National Guard when like there's like a hurricane, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's, you know, the analogy that what's happening is like a disaster, right?
It's and a natural disaster.
National disaster. And so when we have disasters, we have to clean it up. But we're not really looking to clean up, right? We're looking to sort of like fix structures so that we can have a setting where people can learn. That's like different. So that's why it's kind of not a good match. That's my deep thoughts for the day.
Yeah. And I did want to just put a plug in too. So if people are interested in the 5-pronged kind of test for your school discipline theory, if you want to apply it to your district or to your school, the text we took that from that's related to this topic is Carol Lieber's Getting Classroom Management Right, Guided Discipline and Personalized Support in Secondary Schools. And it's a very well-regarded multiple, you know, additions kind of secondary school management resource. And it does, in pretty clear manner, talk about these exact issues. And I can't imagine that Brockton High School is the only school in America that's bumping into some of these same dynamics. So that might be a good resource for people too. We'll put that in the show notes.
All right. Well, Abby, Angela, we'll be back next week.
Yep. See you next week, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe, share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating or review. If you have any questions, you can reach us at astalpodcast@gmail.com.